ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 17, text number 45. Itam Bhutanu Bhavo Yam Abhimanyu Suto Nripa Yasya Palayata Shonim Yuyam Satraya Dikshita. Itham Bhutanu Bhavoyam Abhimanyu Suto Nripa Yasya Pralayata Shonim Yuyam Satraya Dikshita Itham Bhutanu Bhavoyam Abhimanyu Suto Nripah Yasya Pralayata Kshonim Yuyam Satraya Dikshita Itam Buddha. Being thus, Anubhava, experience, Tayam, of this, Abhimanyu Sutta, son of Abhimanyu, Nripa, the king, Yasya, whose, Palayataha, on account of his ruling, Kshonim, on the earth, Yuyam, you all, Satraya, in performing sacrifices, Dikshitaha, initiated. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada. Translation, Maharaj Purika. The son of Abhimanyu is so experienced that by dint of his expert administration and patronage, it has been possible for you to perform a sacrifice such as this. Purport, the Brahmanas and the Kshatriyas are expert in the spiritual advancement of society. Whereas the Kshatriyas, or the administrators, are expert in the material peace and prosperity of human society. Both of them are the pillars of all happiness, and therefore they are meant for full cooperation, for common welfare. Maharaj Parikshit was experienced enough to drive away Kali from his field of activities and thereby make the state receptive to spiritual enlightenment. If the common people are not receptive, it is very difficult to impress upon them the necessity of spiritual enlightenment. Austerity, cleanliness, mercy, and truthfulness, the basic principles of religion, prepare the ground for the reception of advancement in spiritual knowledge, and Maharaj Parikshit made this favorable condition possible. Thus the rishis of Namasharanya were able to perform the sacrifices for 1,000 years. In other words, without state support, no doctrines of philosophy or religious principles can progressively advance. There should be complete cooperation between the Brahmanas and the Kshatriyas for this common good. Even up to Maharaj Ashok, the same spirit was prevailing. Lord Buddha was sufficiently supported by King Ashok, and thus his particular cult of knowledge was spread all over the world. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports of the first canto, 17th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Punishment and Reward of Kali. Om Aganati Marandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manopistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandiham Sri Guru Sri Yutaha Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sadajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadadutam Prahijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitam Sya E Krishna Karma Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Dopika Kanta Radha Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavarishvari Vrishabhanu Sudhu Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Karvyascha Kripa Sindhavevacha Patitanam Pavanivyo Vaishnavivyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shiva Sri Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Rama finished your rounds, you can finish them. It said that we chant 3 times for special emphasis. Something should be repeated. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Eva Sevam, Kalo Nasti, Nasti, Nasti. There's no other way in the age of Kali than the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. No other way, no other way. So, this is the last verse of this chapter entitled Punishment and Reward of Kali. And I'll read the translation once more. Maharaj Parikit, the son of Abhimanyu, is so experienced that by dint of his expert administration and patronage, it has been possible for you to perform a sacrifice such as this. So, Srila Prabhupada in the translation and then in Srila Prabhupada's purport, he emphasizes the need for cooperation between the Brahmins, the Brahmanas, and the Kshatriyas. The Kshatriyas are described as being able to provide peace and prosperity and to set the scene, or to set the society in a conducive way for receiving spiritual knowledge. This whole chapter has been discussing the decline of the qualities of the human beings from the Satya Yuga down Treta Yuga down to the Dwapara Yuga and finally the Kali Yuga. Prayanalpa yasa sabya kalalvashmen yugejana manda samanda matayo mandu bhagyu upadruta. In this age of Kali, people have short lives. They are quarrelsome, they are lazy, they are misguided, they are unlucky. And above all, they're always disturbed. Wow, what a verse from the Bhagavatam. People in this age of Kali are lazy. Both materially lazy and especially spiritually lazy. Manushyanam sahasrishu kaschit yatati siddhaye. Of many thousands of persons, hardly one person, Krishna says, will endeavor on the path of self-realization. Why? Because they are totally bewildered by the bahirartha manina. They are thinking that the external is able to bring some satisfaction. That is the meditation in the Kali Yuga. There is little or no internal meditation or deeper thought other than where is sense gratification. And the thought is that that will bring us satisfaction, sense gratification. So this is a misdirected civilization when we come to this point. In previous ages, the Bhagavatam is describing, men were virtuous, men were powerful, men were self-controlled, men were austere, men were clean in habits, clean in thinking. Some nice gentlemen? Those were the qualities that men possessed. In this age, we hardly are able to gather some semblance of good qualities. So this is the age where we are lazy to spiritual life, we are misguided, and this is the subject of this section of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the guidance. The leaders of society are supposed to protect the citizens, they are supposed to give shelter so that the citizens can be peaceful. That is the special prerogative of the human form of life. The human form of life, Lord Rishabhdev, we know, explains, is not meant simply for sense gratification, but it is a special gift. And society is supposed to be organized in such a way as the human beings will be peaceful. They will be able to execute the basic things in life. What is the basic things in life? Eating and sleeping and mating and defending. So for human being, these things are not supposed to be such a tribulation, such a problem. We are able to grow food. It's not so difficult. Srila Prabhupada used to say, take an acre of land and a man can have a cow, family can have a cow, and produce enough food, and it's not so difficult. And we can live in a peaceful environment, a peaceful situation. And we see this is the mood of the modern age. Everyone wants peace. Really, before peace, they want a reduction of stress. You know, everyone is so stressful. And if we were able to get an opportunity to get a little relief from our suffering condition, and we say, this is material life. Happiness, there's no real happiness. Real happiness is brahmasokyam, or spiritual happiness. And in the modern time, if we get a little relief from our intense anxiety of life, then we're thinking this is very good. So it is a great dilemma, the modern time that we're living in, because this atmosphere of peaceful life, where the necessities of life are provided simply. And what are we supposed to do? If we were able to provide this environment, people would go crazy. Why? Because they've got to have their Xbox, and they've got to have their iPad, and they've got to be wired up to so many artificial sources of disturbance. There's a sense that if we can connect to these gadgets and technologies, we'll become happy. But this is not the way. One person asked Srila Prabhupada once, he's a very intelligent man, and he asked, what is the Vedic technology? He was a well-educated man, and he could see and understand from his study of Vedic culture that there was some kind of technology in place in those ancient times. So this is reflected through archaeological finds, that there are amazing even material technologies in that Vedic culture. So the question was asked to Srila Prabhupada, what was the technology of the Vedic culture? And Srila Prabhupada's answer was very amazing. Srila Prabhupada answered in one word, parampara. So the devotees would think, what does that mean? What is the technology of the Vedic culture, parampara? So it's said that when a great soul speaks, he can speak just one or two words and it has profound meaning and insight. So Srila Prabhupada's reply of parampara means that technology, what is the idea of technology? Who can say? Sorry?
Make things easier.
Make things easier, yes. So that? Why do we want to make things easier?
So the problem is, yes. So I may like to, as you said, to easily make it in peace.
Okay, yes. Yeah, in peace. to get peace. To make things easier?
Make things faster.
To make things faster. Why do we want it to be faster?
To find time.
So why do we want to have time? I'm not playing. It's what we're saying is true. So we want to have. So you get peace. So then, what will you feel next? We've got some time, and now we're peaceful. Then you'll feel.
Happy.
Yes. We want to be happy. So technology is supposed to bring happiness. Are we all feeling it? Maybe not. But the idea, the basic idea is technologies, with the promise is you buy this and you will be get more time. When you get more time, you'll be able to relax. And when you relax, you feel happy. So this is the idea. So Srila Prabhupada's answer was parampara. That technology of hearing from the disciplic succession, ultimately taking us all the way back to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that is a great technology, because that technology connects you to the source of all pleasure and will make you peaceful and will give you enough time. So in this age there is no proper leadership. What is that verse? Nathevidu svartagatim hi vishnu durasayaye bahiratamaniya dandaya tandeya upaniyamana stipeshi tantriyam urudamni badha. Urudamni badha means that we are bound by the strong ropes of material attachment to the deluded concept of sense gratification. And in that deluded condition, we accept as our leaders other blind people. So we are blind, we don't know what to do, we don't know how to achieve satisfaction, and we accept as our guide other blind persons. And the Srimad Bhagavatam says that we fall. We end up in a ditch. If you're a blind person being led by another blind person, you're in a very awkward situation. And very soon you're going to bump into something, or you're going to fall over. So Bhagavatam says we fall in a ditch. So the modern society is very much fallen in that way, with no proper guidance. We don't know that the goal of life is to know about, to become connected to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu or Krishna. So the method for reconnecting to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the process of dusting off. Earlier, in some of the earlier verses, it described that we are covered by different contaminations, different material conceptions, and that has to be cleansed off, the mental dust. I think Maharaj was speaking yesterday about that. We take our bath physically to cleanse every day, and that has a cleansing effect. We feel better when you have a bath. But also we are constantly, our mind is connecting with the material atmosphere. We go out every day and we become contaminated by so many things that impact on our consciousness. So Krishna consciousness is about cleaning off the mental dust, and that is done, we are hearing in this section, by performance of some austerity, by keeping ourselves clean, developing truthfulness and mercy. And those things are done by following the principles of Krishna consciousness. We understand that we will be by meat eating. It's an interesting subject, the four pillars of sinful life. But mercy is certainly destroyed by meat eating. So we keep ourselves clear of those things. Cleanliness is destroyed by illicit connection. So we keep ourselves clear of those things. And truthfulness by gambling, speculative endeavors. It's very hard actually to stay free from gambling, because life in so many ways is a gamble. All business endeavors pretty much involves a gambling, placing your trust in something and hoping it works out. So all these contaminations are there. And as we quoted earlier, Lord Rishabhdev, he says that the human form of life is not simply meant for sense gratification, but it is tapo divyam putraka yena sattvam sudyat yasmat brahma sokyam tvanantam. It is meant for the performance of penance and austerities. Penance and austerities to attain the divine position of devotional service, which brings Brahma Sokya, eternal happiness. Happiness that is not the fleeting, temporary happiness of the material world. So that is the that is the business of the devotees. People perform penance and austerities to attain happiness. It's going on all over the place. You go up to the, what's it called? The Esplanade or the beach. What do they call that road up there again? Beaconsfield Parade. You go up to Beaconsfield Parade and people are just so into performing austerities. They're out there. They're all jogging or they're walking fast and they're performing austerities in the mode of passion and ignorance to attain the position of happiness or satisfaction, to keep the body fit for sense gratification, to prolong the duration of life, to stay longer, to get more, yet to be in it. So they're so enthusiastic. So we have to be enthusiastic too. We have to be enthusiastic, and this is an interesting point. I'm getting a little enthused by saying this, because often we have to be careful, you know, because there's one trick of Maya. Maya's trick is that she is able to confuse us, bewilder us into thinking we are in the mode of goodness in Sudasattva, when actually we can actually be in the mode of ignorance. You're able to perform devotional service in the three modes of material nature. We can perform devotional service in sattva-gun, rajagun, and tamagun. What to speak of sudasattva, pure things. So we have to see and check, are we enthusiastic to perform austerity? Or are we, oh gosh, I've got to get out. I've got to go to temple. Chant Hare Krishna. Or Yeah. Or different degrees to that. I'm maybe exaggerating it a little bit. But the materialists are very passionately enthusiastic to perform their austerities. So the devotees, they are also enthusiastic because they know what is the goal. They know the goal is that's an interesting one. The goal is to go back home, back to Godhead. And the goal is to even go beyond that, to come to the point where we may not even want to or need to or have that desire that I must go back home, back to Godhead. But initially that is a very good idea. One devotee said to Srila Prabhupada, "Oh Srila Prabhupada, I just want to come back and distribute your books." And Srila Prabhupada said, "You desire to go back home, back to Godhead." Interesting. Just like Queen Kunti is praying, she is praying, "Let these calamities come upon us again and again." But Maharaj was explaining that is a very exalted level. We are praying, "Please allow me to have the intelligence and the spiritual capacity to deal with some difficulties when they come our way. Tatenu kampam susamikshamana. Allow me to have the consciousness that I am able to appreciate that when difficulties come, they are for my purification. And therefore, due to my past sinful activities, some reaction is coming, and this is Krishna's special mercy on me, so that I can understand how to make progress." So this is the root of the devotee. So we're praying for that. Queen Kunti is saying, "Oh, bring again and again these difficulties so that I can come. Always you will be closer to us. If we are in difficulty, Krishna will come, and that way we will never see repeated birth and death again and again." So we are performing the austerity of devotional service in an enthusiastic mood to attain the divine position of eternal service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So to have this environment is so important, and it requires cooperation. We're hearing in this verse the need for the brahmanas and sannyasis to cooperate very nicely with the kshatriyas, and for the kshatriyas to conversely also associate in that way. Here we're hearing that the sages of Namasharanya, Suta Goswami, is glorifying Maharaj Parikit. That Maharaj Parikit is so experienced that by dint of his expert administration and patronage, it has been possible for you to perform a sacrifice such as this. So this is a nice example that Maharaj Parikit was able to keep the influence of Kali away and allow those sages the facility and the proper environment to perform a sacrifice. Sacrifice for the benefit of the people of the age of Kali. So this is the nice reciprocation. So I was thinking of the importance to show the example of cooperation. Srila Prabhupada again said that after my departure you will show your love for me by your cooperation. So this is incumbent upon us as devotees to show the example of cooperation. And sometimes we think cooperation means compromise. But actually it's slightly different. Compromise is the sense of missing something, or I have to give up something to be able to work with you. But cooperation is slightly different. Compromise is one word, cooperation is another. So cooperation means that someone can operate and somebody else can operate, and they both operate alongside each other. And that's what we see with the activities of the kshatriyas. The kshatriyas have certain qualities described in the Bhagavad Gita. What are the qualities of the kshatriyas? I think we have written them. They have heroism, They have power, determination, resourcefulness, courage in battle, generosity, and leadership. So these are the qualities the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains, are the qualities of the Kshatriyas. They are heroic, they are powerful, determined. Now it seems in some ways that these are similar to Brahminical qualities in some shade. Although Brahmins are not really heroic, I don't think. Like, they're not generally, you don't see them as being that, in that sense, very heroic. Power, you have to have power as a Brahmana. Brahma Tejas is the power of the Brahmanas, but it's a slightly different kind of power. Determination certainly is there in Brahmana, but not the same as the determination, relentless determination of a Kshatriya. Power is there. Generosity and leadership. But those Kshatriyas, they are wanting the guidance of the Brahmins, because the Brahmins have a different quality. The Brahmanas are not interested in the material world. A real Brahmana is detached from the material world. They're not worried if they are sitting in a palatial place or sitting in a hut, or they're not so interested. Why? Because they are absorbed in Brahman. They are absorbed in the supreme Param Brahman, Krishna. The Vaishnavas especially, and the sannyasis. And they are detached from this material world. The Kshatriya is more attached. There's more attachment in the mood of the Kshatriya. But the Brahmins, they are detached. What are the qualities of the Brahman? Samu, Damas, Tapasvacham, Shanti, Arjun, Virajam, Vijnanam, Astityam, Brahma, Karma, Svabhavajam. The Bhagavad Gita explains. They are peaceful. Kshatriya is not as peaceful, usually, they're quite feisty, quick to get into action, as the Brahmins are more peaceful. They are self controlled, they're performing austerities in the mode of goodness. They're very clean, always clean in mind and thought and body. They're tolerant. They're honest. And they have knowledge and wisdom, jnana and vijnana. So this is our test, this is our knowledge. We have to have knowledge, but the knowledge has to mature into wisdom, vijnana. Jnanam vijnanam. Brahma karma svabhavajam. And they're involved in religiousness. So, this is the determination of the devotees. There's one verse in Bhagavad Gita we know, Vyavasayat Vikabhutir, Ekiha Kuru Nandana. Ekiha means the one pointed. And this is the knowledge that we gain from the Brahmanas and from the sannyasis, that we should be one pointed in our attention. And not Bahushaka Yanantasya. Bahushaka means many branched. So, material life, people are all over the place in pursuit of sense gratification. Here, there, everywhere, in so many ways. And they see the life of the devotees. Oh, you've become a Hare Krishna person. You've become so narrow in your focus. All you do is talk Krishna, and all your food's Krishna. Everything you talk about is just Krishna, but you've no variety in your life. We have so much variety for pleasure. But the devotee is learning to be one-pointed. Now that one-pointed has an amazing end result. We judge something by its results. Srila Prabhupada said in this chapter also. We judge by the result. So this is how Maya is working. It appears that the Bahushaka, the broad vision and engagement of the non-devotee, the materialist, it seems so variegated, but actually it's the same old thing. Punapunas chavata chavana, same, chewing the chewed, eating, sleeping, mating and defending, this way, that way, that way, this way, this. But it's the same. It's so narrow, and the devotees see it like that. They don't see all the variety. They see same old, sense gratification, no satisfaction, only agitation, frustration, disappointment. This is the thinking and the vision of the devotee. You know, when you get an hourglass, you get the sand in the glass. So it seems there's lots of sand. But to come through the centerpiece, it has to become so focused. So as a devotee, this is what we do. The Brahmins and Vaishnavas, they are encouraging. Give up this foolish variety, so-called variety of material life, and become Ekiha Kuru Nandana, focused in spiritual life. Because an amazing thing will happen. As you give up all those activities and focus, come to the temple. Isn't it? When we first come to the temple, we stop this, we stop that, and we come to the temple. Then the temple says, oh, you thought you were early coming at 7 o'clock to see the deities? You can come at 4:30. It's like, wow. 4:30. Whoop, and it goes down again. It gets narrower and narrower. And when we first came here to the temple, you couldn't take initiation. If you didn't come to Mangalarti, go out in service all day, come home, have prasadam at the temple, go home, take your bath in time for Aarti, come to Aarti. And then the president called us in and said, if you really want to get initiated, we've noticed that you only come to the Bhagavad Gita class at night, but you don't come for Krishna book and hot milk. Okay, we're going to come for Krishna book and hot milk. Nothing else, no distraction. And then after a while we managed to get initiated. So it's such a narrow focus, but the amazing thing is you go through that and then everything opens up. Spiritual life is full variety. There's no dearth of engagement. What to speak of the spiritual world? The spiritual world full of love, not lust. Lust is one focus in many varieties. But spiritual life. And we hear of the unlimited spiritual world where the living entities are free to express themselves unlimitedly in loving exchange with one another and with the Supreme Living Being Krishna and His eternal associates. This is the life we hanker for. Sat-chit ananda. Eternal, full cognizance, full knowledge of everything, and full blissful life. That is what we want. We don't simply want a little relief from our material suffering. Shanti, shanti, shanti. We want a little peace. Just now it's wow if we can only have shanti. But the cows have shanti. The cows are peaceful. They're just out there chewing. But we don't want to become cows. Maybe Surabhi cow you can become. That's another subject. That's another department of yeah. So we become so niggardly, so meager in our quest for our real life. People, if they can just get an apartment and get a little peace from the suffering, they're thinking, this is utopia. This is the goal of my life. The foolish fellow doesn't know. It is dukalayam asasvatam. You are struggling against so many miserable situations, thinking if I can make some adjustment to overcome that, then I'll be happy. You fool, then you die. You see all these apartments we go around, it's all changing since it used to be when we were here in 1975 and to 1980. Now everyone's renovating the little places and making them all modern and new. But we must die and death will come. I was sitting here in this temple as a young boy, 23 or 24 years. Now I'm 61, 62 coming. Like that. So, oh, Haribo. And we push on. And Prabhuji's still sitting here in the same seat. And here we are. Krishna. But it's glorious to sit in that seat, or to sit on this seat, or to sit in the temple, and to continue on the process. Because this is the eternal activities. Every day there is the rising and setting of the sun, and another day is lost in the material world. But for the devotees of the Lord, then it is another day to engage in the tapodivyam, the austerity of, and it's not, it's definitely an austerity to be a devotee in this age. There are so many distractions. Maharaj say, what do they call it? Mass distraction. What's the first word?
Weapons of mass distraction.
Weapons of mass distraction. I was in Bombay last year. I was there this year, but I was there in Mumbai, the Chaupati Temple. I was speaking there, and I was relating that the billboards or the hoardings, you call it hoardings in India, the hoardings, and they had hoardings. They were massive. They were as big as the whole wall, back wall here, and it was. They were advertising the wrestling, the men from the West, these big wrestlers, that somehow they're importing them to do wrestling in India. And you know, they were like, I was, it was like the demons, that the subject was about Putana and all the different demons that were attacking Krishna. And I was saying, well, here we go, we're importing. The Putana was flying in, all the witches and stuff, and all the demons, they're able to use mystic powers to fly in. So I was saying that these demons you're importing, they're flying in on the airplanes to come in and fight. Weapons of mass distraction. Hare Krishna. So there are so many verses. Bhagavad Gita 255, I think, or 215. Okay. Like, what is that verse? That there's no happiness. Nasti bhutir na yukkasya na cha bhavana. Ashanta shakutasukam. There's no possibility of happiness without peace. It's a wonderful verse that Krishna is explaining. There's no possibility of happiness without peace. So people are looking for peace. Why? Because they want to be happy. But you can't find peace, Krishna says, unless you have a controlled mind. Oh, controlled mind. Oh. You can't have a controlled mind, Krishna says, unless your intelligence is steady. And you can't have steady intelligence unless you have spiritual consciousness. So if you want happiness, you have to have spiritual consciousness. But people are being cheated. They want peace and happiness, so they go along to some yoga thing. Yeah, just sit here, do a little of this, eat these herbs, and have some pills, and do a couple of asanas, and then you'll be peace and you'll be happy. This is Kali Yuga, the cheaters and the cheated. People want to be cheated, and Krishna sends along some people to cheat them, and the show goes on. It keeps going on. So the devotee's business is to very gently, to very expertly, to very enthusiastically present Krishna consciousness as the only way. Yeah? Nasteva, nasteva. There's no other way, no other way, no other way in this age of Kali than hearing from the Bhagavatam. Therefore, with one pointed attention. What is that? Sushusho Sadatanasha? Vasudeva? No. Verses are all over the place. With one pointed attention, one should constantly hear about, glorify, remember, and worship. With one pointed attention. Bhagavan Satvatampati, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the protector of the Satvatams, of the devotees. And everyone is Krishna's devotee. When Krishna says, I am a protector of the devotees, he's a protector of all living entities. We're all devotees. We're trying to remember that we're devotees. Some people don't yet know. So that is our job as devotees, to, on behalf of Krishna, on behalf of Srila Prabhupada, on behalf of the Vaishnavas, to offer this facility for people, that this will actually make you happy. This will bring you into connection with your real self and bring you into connection with the Supreme Person, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that society can actually become peaceful. Srila Prabhupada had that wonderful vision and was able to give it to us. He said that if you could have mass sankirtan, then people will be very, very happy. You can imagine if, what's the stadium here? MCG? Still MCG? The MCG, if we could, with the support of government and local authorities, they would give us free the MCG for the weekend, or let's just for one night, and they would give all arrangements, and we can invite people, please, 100,000 people come. We'll invite Madhava Prabhu, and we'll invite all the kirtaniyas come. We'll invite wonderful sannyasis to speak to the people. And then, after the kirtan, can you imagine? 100,000 people chanting. Very beautiful kirtan. And then afterwards, we'll feed them halwa, gulab jamun. And then they will all go home peacefully. And Srila Prabhupada said they won't be the window breaking crowd. Because usually when you have 100,000 people, they go home and they're all fighting. My team got beat, your team, don't like your team, and they fight. I don't know what the MCG, but in different places all over the world, stadiums come fill up with people and they all fight. But this would not be the fighting crowd. It would not be them. But we'd go home, prasadam. We'd explain to them. I remember getting my first plate of prasadam in Melbourne in Little Lonsdale Street. The centre was down there in the city. And the devotees were explaining, this food is spiritual food. This food is not ordinary food. It has been offered to Krishna. And therefore, it is completely pure. And when you eat this food, you will become Krishnaized, you will become purified. And then I left the center and I had a plate to take home. And my friends had some plates. And some prasad was falling off the plate. You know how we usually load them up too much? So they were falling off. And I was telling them, don't have spiritual food. Don't drop it. Make sure you don't. So potent, the words of the devotees. Rasoham apsakuntiya. Krishna says, I am the taste of water. So when we hear that Krishna is the taste of water, what happens? We go and we drink some water and we remember, oh, Krishna is the taste of water. And from that time on we connect that this is Krishna. This is the power of the spiritual words and the power to transform from material to spiritual, to transform our lives from a life of miserable pursuit of sense gratification into performing the activities of devotees so that we can go back home, back to Godhead. So I'm going to most likely finish there. If anyone has any question, you can maybe talk. There's maybe some points I haven't made, but so the cooperation, I didn't emphasize the cooperation so much. But you may know this already, or you may not have heard it before, but all the difficulties you're going to experience from now on in your life are going to be caused by devotees. I'm sorry, I just thought I'd tell you that. Because we've heard that you have to give up the association of non-devotees. Yes? So now you're only associating with devotees. And you're going to experience happiness and distress because you have a material body. So the sources of distress are going to come through other living, adibhautik, adiatmik, adidaivik. So one of the miseries of life is your own body, and the other one is through the association of the other entities. So the only ones you're associating with are the devotees. So this is part of the science of devotional life, is that when we have a difficulty, often we fall into the trap, oh, it's that devotee, it's that one, he's causing me a problem, or she's causing me a problem, it's this person, it's that person. But actually devotee is learning, as we know, these difficulties may come through a secondary manifestation. Oh, this devotee is causing me some problem, but actually it's not. It's coming through reaction to past activities, and coming as Krishna's mercy to purify my existence. For me to learn a lesson. The lesson generally to be learned is humility. What a lesson that is to learn. You think you've learned it, and then again you have another opportunity to learn it. And it goes on like that. So, difficulties will arise, and the cooperation is very, very important. If we're able to see that these interactions with different devotees are not the real difficulty. I should be tolerant, I should be humble, and see these difficulties as opportunities for growing as an individual, to become mature and to learn something. What is it that I have done? We're so focused on what the other person's done to us. But what have I done? Maybe I could have been a bit more humble. Maybe I could have been a little more sensitive. Maybe I could have been a little more enthusiastic. Whatever it may be. So that we will not make the mistake of the Vaishnava Parad and getting into difficulty. And often that is the reason why devotees leave Krishna consciousness. It's not because of the philosophy. The philosophy is faultless. But often it's the personal interactions that we get caught up in, get disappointed, get frustrated, get disturbed, and lose our enthusiasm and become captured by some other allurement. Oh, yeah. Maharaj was saying that? Somebody just the other day, when we first come, that everyone was angels. Did Maharaj say that? I think it was. He said, when we first come, and it's a fact, you first come and say, wow, these devotees are amazing. They're so wonderful. Then gradually we see they really have those faults. They're not yet quite pure in that way, maybe something. And then we focus in that way and our vision becomes a little cloudy. Okay, enough, Joshua. Finish. Any questions, comments, corrections? That's the idea, yes.
When I met you first time, 1975 in Auckland, same thing you were there.
Oh, same. You're not supposed to tell. This is, the boys don't know, this is the only lecture I give, the same one.
Faultless, unchanged.
Ah. You're very nurturing, thank you.
Thank you.
Receive it kindly. But remember, it's not narrow. I gave that example. It becomes very focused and seems as though, but that one pointedness is unlimited. That is the nature. Krishna is greater than the greatest, smaller than the smallest. So that one pointed can be limitless. It can include your family. It can include your children. It can include your wife or your husband. It can include anything and everything in Krishna's service. But the one pointedness is Krishna at the center. Krishna is there. And then everything can revolve around that set. Satsvarupa Maharaj, what time do we finish now? Anywhere between now and 5 minutes? Quarter to, sort of like that?
Yeah.
Okay. So Satsvarupa Maharaj gave very nice example many, many years ago. And I sometimes remember it. but he said, pre-Prabhupada thinking, God was at best one of the planets orbiting in the crowded sky of our life. So you have, we are at the center. This is the... She's done really well, hasn't she? She's done so well. I should have acknowledged her earlier. That was a lovely exit. I mean, she held it, didn't she? She was really, I'm out of this, I've been listening for so long, I've got to get out of here. And she kept it together and just, but you all have to stay longer, you can't get out yet. Ms. Adam's coming soon. So yeah, this kind of consciousness, at best, God was something orbiting. We are at the center of the jiva, and everything orbits around us. We are the center of the universe. So I've got my job, I've got my family, I've got my bank balance, I've got all the things in my life, and God. Oh yeah, I got God too. God's there. There's me, there's God, and all the things. So he said, this was like Copernicus. I think he was the one that established that the center was not the earth, but the sun. And everything is revolving in that way around the sun. Although that's a big Vedic discussion. Anyway, so Srila Prabhupada got us to shift the focus that, no, the jiva, you are not at the center. Krishna is at the center. And when we place Krishna at the center of our lives, then everything revolves in the proper way. So, yeah, so that is a very important thing, to keep Krishna as the central focus. So then husband and wife can live peacefully together, children can be trained nicely, and everything around that factor of becoming Krishna conscious. So, question. Wow, I'm in trouble here. Yeah. My wife's going to ask me.
Someone else is going to ask this, so I'll ask it. The weapons of mass destruction. Can you talk a little bit about technology? Because, you know, I can't live without my iPod. And I know a lot of devotees, we rely on a lot of technology. And how can it be a distraction, or can it be a
iPod? You are knowing the answer to this. My wife knows the answer. So she's defending her little,
your iPod
and your Kindle. And Srila Prabhupada said, yes, the microphone is very necessary for speaking about Krishna consciousness. And Srila Prabhupada was using the dictaphone to dictate his purpose to Srimad Bhagavatam. So certainly we can use technology. And when Srila Prabhupada was actually asked sometimes, oh, if we came into power, Srila Prabhupada, and took over the world in Krishna consciousness, would we close all the factories? Would we do it like that? And Srila Prabhupada said, that is not what the function. Basically, we utilize. This is the process of Yukta Vairagya given by Rupa Goswami, to utilize everything in Krishna's service. So, certainly we can use these things in Krishna's service. We can use computers. I don't know if we can use Xboxes. I don't know. I'm not sure of that. I've never seen one working, but games, basically, isn't it? Something? Okay. So those. So. So we purchased, what is it? A Kindle, a reading thing. It's quite a nice thing, because you can put all of Krishna conscious books and anything that's inspirational for you to read and get it there. You can use technology nicely. But we have to be very cautious, careful. And as Maharaj was saying, you get the television for the children. That's a mistake in a start, for the start, thinking that devotees should never use for babysitting. That's a cruelty. It's cruel to the children to do that. Maybe you want to show them some educational programs, something to engage them. They're seeing so much technology all around, so certainly they may have to see some things, but again, we have to be very intelligent how to do that so that they get some benefit and not all the other stuff. And then we've had this through our life as devotees, we've had television, we've had children, they've grown up now and so on, so we know what we're talking about. We've had the experience. So you have the television and you think, yes, well, it's good to keep in touch with reality, so the news, at least we should watch the news. So you watch the news, and then after the news comes the current affair program connected to the news. So Yeah, you could watch that, because sometimes there's good program in the current affair or on the news special program. 1 year later. Well, you know, 8 o'clock is a program, it's quite good. And before you know it, everyone's sitting watching TV. So, they call it the idiot box. And the one-eyed guru. Used to be we sit in front of guru with two eyes and he tells you what you should do. And we sit in front of the one-eyed guru and listen, yes, yes. And off we go and do everything. So, does that answer your question? So I will feel a great failure in this class if I don't get a question from someone other than Mahaprabhu and my wife. We've been here since the beginning of time. Yes, thank you very much.
I wanted to ask you something. As you said, that we can be distracted by Maya. We might be thinking that we are doing practicing Krishna consciousness in mode of fullness.
Yes.
And we might be in mode of ignorance or mode of passion. Can you just give me a quick example illustrating that, how that thing happens and how we can understand that, that if you're not actually in mode of fullness, you're actually in mode of passion?
That's a lovely question. And well articulated, well said. So how to understand or perceive that? One idea would be, at least in chanting, we can chant our rounds in the mode of goodness, in the mode of passion, or in the mode of ignorance. And then Surashatra. So when we're chanting, we can be introspective. So chanting in the mode of goodness more or less means that we're chanting desiring purification. Still a desire is there. It's not desireless. And the desire is very elevated. That my Lord, please allow me to hear your name, to become purified, to purify my heart. So this is a very nice level of chanting. So if that's in the consciousness, there's a focus in that mood of chanting for purification, then we can see that we're more or less in the mood of goodness. If we are more focused on specific desires, even it may be in service. Oh, I want to. It's very interesting, and I'm not personally totally focused right now because these have parallels in Sudhasattva. Maybe you're chanting that you want to. I'm trying to think. What's an example of service? Clean the pots. You may be focused in that way. I'm trying to think. You need to help me out here because it's not my focus right now. I'm a bit very male. I'm not a multitasker.
It could be related to your service, couldn't it? I'm a teacher, so I'm always thinking, what will I do with the kids today?
Good point. Yes, that's a one. I see my wife. Behind every small man is a great woman. So, a wonderful example. Yeah. So there's two ways. See, and what I'm going on. If you were thinking of your service, you could be in pure, unalloyed goodness as well, doing that if it was really there. But you can easily be, as you've mentioned, Bimala, that we're a bit distracted from the chanting. And we're thinking of the service, I've got to clean the room, I've got to get the books ready for the children. So that is pretty much mode of passion. We're being distracted through activities that we want to do. So that's chanting in mode of passion. And then in ignorance, I know that one. You don't know what you're doing. You're just chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, and your mind's here, and your mind's there. You're not chanting with the mood of purification. You're not even focused on some specific activities that you want to do. But you just, if somebody asks you, what are you thinking about? I don't know. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, there's just sound going on. We're not really focused on the sound. It's okay to just let the sound, if we're focused on Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, you're focusing, Hare Srimati Radharani, the internal energy of the Lord, Krishna, Krishna, we're thinking of Krishna. So we're hearing that sound, that's pure chanting. But if we just the upper and top bottom lip are moving and the sound's coming out, and we just don't know where we are. One minute we're thinking of our sore foot, the next minute it's prasadam coming up, next minute it's somewhere else, and we're just all over the place. That's the mode of ignorance. Shock, isn't it? So we're either going to be in that mode of ignorance stuff, and then at the end of our chanting we kind of wander out the door and we haven't a, there's nothing, it's just kind of vacant. An hour went past or an hour and a half and we weren't deeply focused in the sound of the vibration, we weren't deeply focused in purification, Krishna, real meditation, and neither were we really focused on some specific service, and we're so focused in it, that's passion. I want to get to school, I've got to get those things ready, whatever it is, I've got this, I'm going on a preaching program, that's passionate, but it's connected to Krishna. Does that explain? Yeah, you're not really sure. Kind of. Are you, what mode are you in right now?
Okay, can you explain the second part of the question? Then how do we, if nobody tells me that you are actually, you're not chanting properly, then I actually can't understand that, that Maya is distracting me, I'm not doing it properly. So, how do we?
I just told you. Sorry? Look, didn't we just spoke of that subject. So now we have to be introspective. Introspection is very important for a devotee. So one is we get someone tells us, hey, you're in the mode of ignorance, especially if you're asleep. I'm joking a little here. Maybe I shouldn't joke. But yeah. But devotee is introspective. So we tomorrow when you chant, then we can think. What has been my chanting for the last 5 minutes, 10 minutes? Or where am I in this chanting? And you can check and see whether we're in ignorance, we're in passion, or we're in goodness. Or we're fully absorbed in just bathing in the nectar or giving pleasure to Krishna by chanting His holy name. And then keep bringing ourselves up. So if we're in the mode of ignorance, hey, welcome to the club. There's many of us in this big club. So let's get passionate about doing something for Krishna, and then maybe we can go even beyond that, or transcendental, go higher again, just praying to Krishna, please allow me to remember you, let me become absorbed and purified by the nectar of your holy name, and that could be our chanting. It's okay, we're going to finish at that point. Please excuse me for being all over the place. I think my class was in the mode of ignorance, maybe a little passion. Yes. Hare Krishna. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.
Jai Shri Ram Ki Jai.